害。 Practicing that song last week and then hearing it put into service this morning. I don't know about y'all, but we all have different pasts. But I remember that song distinctly in my younger years when I was a kid.
Praise the Lord.
And it's, you know, it's just as true today as it was then. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord never changes. Right. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Right. His healing, as we y'all just witnessed, I know God is healing right now. Amen. I know that He is touching, that He's given the, not only given us direction, but He's given us His promise. That if we turn everything over to Him and we seek Him, and God is so great. God is so great. I just love each and every one of you. I don't know. I've got chills right now. I just feel so good. I see a big smile right there. God is great.
Amen.
And He's going to take everything. Everything that we talked about in Sunday school. And that's right. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You know, I was fixed to say, y'all, excuse me for getting out of order, but you know, God has everything in order. It's His plan. He knows what's needed this morning. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to go in prayer this morning as a congregational. I'm going to ask y'all to, and I usually say this a lot, but I really mean it. Turn off all that stuff. Don't worry about CNN, Fox, 2, 5, and 11, all the rigmarole going on. Don't. Let's just only remember how great our God is. And there's a lot of prayer requests going forth. There are people that need the Lord right now.
Amen.
And I know that all the prayers have been lifted up. I know all the situations that God is carrying us through. Because I'm sure each and every one of us have a testimony, probably not just one, of where we thought there was no answer. But now we can say God was in charge and He has a plan for each and every one of us. And that's the direction I want us to pray this morning. I know there are those watching online that have a need this morning. Maybe you're at home and not able to be with us for whatever reason. You hear the word quarantine. You hear the word sickness. You hear hospitals. There's so much being spoken. The national crisis that's going on right now. Those 13 families, it's wanting answers, not counting all the civilians that were killed and wounded in that one blast. But you know, our God is greater than that. Amen. He is greater than that. And I just want y'all to pray this morning. And I'm going to ask you, as you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to just first start off, raise that one with that prayer request, but raise the other one as we pray and praise God in our prayers. Amen. If you have a prayer need this morning or a situation that you know of, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. It's almost 100% in here this morning. Now let's go ahead and lift it up and just glorify God. Our most heavenly Father, dear Lord, we come to You this morning. Dear Lord, we hear the word hope. We hear the word promise. We hear Your grace, Your mercy, and Your love. Dear Lord, as we come to You this morning, Lord, we just want to praise You. Lord, we want to praise You for healing. Praise You for life, dear Lord. Praise You for never, dear Lord, leaving us alone if we seek You. Dear Lord, may we not pull away from the direction that You'd have us to go for. Lord, I pray for each and every situation this morning. We pray as in a congregation in one mind and one accord. Dear Lord, we praise You for answering prayers. Lord, for our testimonies of praise. We praise You for healing right now, this moment. And dear Lord, we praise You for Your eternal promise. And dear Lord, as we walk this path, dear Lord, may You guide and direct us. Lord, may we seek You earnestly each and every hour, each and every day, dear Lord. And we just thank You for allowing us to gather in Your house and in Your name. Because, dear Lord, with you, without you, we're nothing, but with you, all things are possible. And, dear Lord, our hope is in you. Our praise is in you. And we lift you up and give you each and every situation in our lives, our families, our community, this church, dear Lord, our state, our nation in this world. Dear Lord, may we seek you first, and, dear Lord, and let you just get all the glory and all the honor. Lord, again, we ask you to bless our pastor and, dear Lord, and his family. Strengthen them as they go about your business, each and every ministry that goes forth from this church. Lord, this broadcast, may it go out and your word be edified. Dear Lord, for those watching now, if they have a prayer request, dear Lord, touch them. Lord, seek them. Dear Lord, pierce the hearts of those who are in need. And, dear Lord, we know, dear Lord, we just love and praise you. And we give you all the honor and glory in the most precious name above. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord in his house this morning. I know we talked about a lot during revival. We've talked about so much about that anticipation and that expectation and all the excitement. But it's still here now. And that promise. So as you're standing, we're going to go to an old one that's been on my mind this morning as I was seeking the Lord. But it's the old gospel ship. Just want to just to lift up the Lord and just for his promises. Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Why don't you get a chance? Turn around. Just wave to somebody. Give them a high five. Let them know how much the Lord loves them. How glad we are to have you with us this morning. Those of you online, how glad we are to have you joining us. Or if you're watching at a later time, we'd love to invite each and every one of you to come visit with us here at First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. We just love the Lord. And we're just going to continue with our service this morning. Now we're going to go ahead and take up our morning offering. Now we've got some people traveling this weekend. Some will be traveling this next week. We want to ask each and every one of you to just to keep them in prayer. I know it's a holiday weekend for some. And just ask the Lord just to touch. Just praise God. Now we've got some other ones coming up too. Thank you. Thank you. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord just to bless our morning offering, please?
Dear Lord, thank you, Lord, for that opportunity to be in your household. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit we already feel.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, your presence is here. Lord, we will praise you and give you honor. Lord, bless all those that made it out here today, Lord. Bless those that are not able to be here, Lord. Lord, may you sit us, Lord. Lord, may be low in spirit. Lord, we love them and you protect them. Bless us all for the world that I work for. Bless all those that have the gift, especially the ones who don't.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen.
That we're few in number this morning, but God is concerned about every one of us, each and every one of us, no matter what our walk is or how long we have been walking or how short we have been with Him. This is not a time to turn around. This is not a time to turn around. I was standing yesterday and looking at the sunrise. And it was just absolutely breathtaking. And I said, Lord, are you going to come today? I guess the people in the neighborhood might have thought I was crazy, but I was looking up and it was just like the clouds were just absolutely still. It looked like. But whenever I looked at a tree that was still, then I could see that the clouds were just barely going by it. But it was a beautiful picture.
Amen.
God, let me see that. I've come too far to turn back now. Y'all worship the Lord. Nothing behind me, all the treasures I used to love have all faded from view. There's a new day ahead for me. All my heartache is over, for I left
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We have come too far to look back.
Amen.
Y'all worship with us this morning as I sing the goodness of God.
And anybody in the audience that wants to help sing, feel free to.
Yes.
You, Lord, oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. In the darkest night, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Your goodness is running after.
Running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. Think about it. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Thank you, Jesus.
Can you say amen? Come on, church, amen. All my life, he's been faithful. He has been so, so good. Amen. I wish I had the vocabulary, amen, to adequately thank God for all of his goodness, his mercy. You know, sometimes I just revert back to what my granddaddy used to say. It gets gooder and gooder. Amen. Amen. He said, you can do all the eloquent speaking that you want to, but when you get down to it, God just gets gooder and gooder. And I thank the Lord that he does. Amen. Even when we don't deserve it. Come on. Amen. Even when we're kind of poochy-lipped. Where's my poochy-lipped brother? That's his saying. When we get poochy-lipped. Amen. When we get... our hands hanging kind of low and our knees begin to buckle under the weight of whatever we're going through. Amen. How many knows that the goodness of God is always faithful? Amen. If you believe that, give him another hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Praise God. Have we got any happy folks in the church today? I mean truly happy. Praise God. Amen. Well, I got a message for us happy folks. Amen. I believe that the Lord laid this upon my heart this week, and I couldn't wait to get this morning an opportunity to share with you what I believe God would speak to our hearts this morning. Just want to preface by saying God hadn't told me anything that you're going through or what's going on in your life. He's able to, but he hasn't. But I believe he has given me a word of encouragement this morning. And I believe that you're here not by chance, but I believe you're here by purpose this morning. Those of us who have gathered together this morning believe God wants to speak to our hearts. I really believe that he does. Because it's been a very trying week. It's been a very trying month. It's been a very trying several months. And sometimes we think that God doesn't see, or if he sees, he doesn't understand, or if he doesn't understand, he doesn't care. Well, none of those are true. God does see. He does care, and he does understand. But it's in his time that he will lift us up and encourage us. So if you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of 1 Thessalonians, into the 5th chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians. I want to read 3 verses, and then you may be seated. The apostle writes, "Rejoice evermore," in the 16th verse. "Pray without ceasing. In all of the good things, give thanks." When you're in a good mood, give thanks. When things are going your way, give thanks. No, the Apostle Paul writes, "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for your faithfulness, for your goodness, for your mercy and grace. And Father, we're thankful for this day and opportunity that you've given us to gather together. For those who are here today, Father, I pray a special blessing and a mighty anointing of your Holy Spirit. God, we humbly ask this morning that you would anoint this vessel, anoint these lips of clay, this tongue, God, to speak that you would have us to speak. God, we're so thankful, God, for each and every one that's here. We know that many are sick. We know that many are afflicted. Some are traveling. And Father, we pray that you touch and anoint and meet those needs, God, of those who stand in a need this morning. And Father, I pray right now that you would use this vessel to speak to us, God, that you would have us to hear. that we might be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. I have a very simple title text this morning. It is one word. And it says rejoice. Rejoice. This week, as I was driving down the road, I was, some people call it thinking, contemplating, just kind of not on any particular thing. But God spoke to me in a scripture, and he said, rejoice evermore. Just almost like I'm speaking to you right now. The Holy Spirit just impressed me to rejoice. And I got to confess, I mean, he's thankful that God has given us a repentive heart. Man, there's many, many times I've had to repent. Amen. When reading the Word of God or feeling the anointing presence of God, or sometimes when God just gives me a word of exhortation, sometimes it causes this flesh to repent. And my first thought and my first reaction was, rejoice about what? I didn't say that, but that was the thought that I had. Because the thoughts that I was thinking were not really pleasant thoughts. They were more of weighty matters. How many's ever carried any weighty matters? Well, we have those things sometimes, and they will consume you. And they will test you. And they will burden you down if you're not particular and really faithfully asking God to help you. So that was my first reaction. And then God began to immediately bring remembrance to my spirit of all the good things, of all the blessings, and of all the anointing. And I began to have a mindset change, and I began to be very thankful for everything. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. I not only was thanking him for the blessings, but for the times that he has tested me, for the many trials that he has brought me through, for the many times that even I've carried burdens, and I brought my burdens to the burden bearer, and he lifted them. Can I get a witness? And he gave me joy unspeakable and caused me to rejoice in my spirit. And I began to question, Lord, where is the joy in the church today? Church, I think it's time that the church got happy again. Not so much in the trials, not happy to have trials, but we're happy to know that whatever we face, we will not ever face it alone. There is a God. Amen. I don't care what Satan says. I don't care what political correctness says. I don't care what the woke people say. There is a God who is aware of every situation. And that God has given me inner peace that no peace in the world could ever measure up to the peace that God has given me. And he's told me to rejoice. And I begin to read in the history and the writings of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the church of Thessalonica. This is the first letter. We find that this was not a long and historical established church. It was a newly established church. The Apostle Paul, as he began his missionary journey, telling folks, preaching folks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, had visited this country of Thessalonica.
And there was a wonderful spirit that was there, and people began to come, and they were converted by the teachings and the preachings of Paul and Timothy and Barnabas, and there was a church started there, and the church was on fire, and the church was happy, and the church was rejoicing, because it wasn't in a time of good things. Amen. Things were bad around them, and nations were really poor, and situations were at the very bottom. Amen. But there began to be hope spread in the church that the apostles started, and folks began to give their life to Jesus Christ, and they were born again. Amen. With the infilling of the Spirit of God. I would dare say that many of us today, when we received the Spirit of God, there was joy in the church. Amen. When one person gave their life to the Lord, there was joy. Regardless of what we had to do at work, regardless of what was on the agenda for the next day, it was a time of joy and happiness and rejoicing in the blessings of the Lord. And I look around the church world today, and seemingly the happiness and the joy is not where it once was. There's celebration. There's even shouting. There's wonderful music and praise. Man, some of the greatest songs of late have been written. But sometimes I think we ought to just read the words that they say. Words about the redeeming power of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who loved us so much that He came and He bled and died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And so many times we sing through those words without really thinking about what they mean and how it gives us joy and causes us to have happiness, even in a world that seemingly can't be able to find any peace and joy. The Lord said, rejoice. Rejoice in your salvation. Rejoice in the fact that you know Christ. Rejoice in the fact that He loved you enough to convict you of your sinful nature and draw you to an altar of repentance. And the Apostle Paul was so moved and so excited about the church that he and Timothy and Barnabas decided to continue their missionary journey. So they began to travel over into Greece toward Athens. And how many knows that even when we're not with one another, God is with us. And sometimes He places on our heart that a certain brother or sister or a family needs prayer. I just want to stop for a moment and just get a little bit of pastoral advice to us this morning. If ever you are about your daily routine and suddenly the thought or the picture of someone or some family that's in the church comes to your remembrance or is made known to you somehow. You may be busy at work, but all of a sudden, maybe a face or a name. I want you to know that is not coincidence. That is the power and the Spirit of God saying your brother and your sister needs prayer. There's a family that I've placed on your heart, and right now you need to get a hold of the power of God on behalf of them. Church, if we want to see the power of God, we got to know that we don't just turn it on, then turn it off after we leave church. The God that I serve, amen, is a 7-day God, 24 hours a day, every day of the year. And I want to praise Him and serve Him to the very best of my ability. Paul began to be concerned, not so much worried, but just thinking, how's the church doing? So he instructs Timothy, I want you to go back to Thessalonica, and I want you to observe and report back to me how the church is doing. I just kind of have a place in my heart for them, and it's a newly established church, and I know how Satan works. Church, when have we took the opportunity to call a new convert or somebody that's just starting for the Lord and say, I just want to let you know I love you and thinking about you. And I know how Satan is. He'll try to get on your shoulders and give you a hard time. And I just wanted to let you know that somebody's praying with you. So Timothy goes back to Thessalonica and he observes the church. And when he gets there, he finds that there is joy and happiness in the church. Amen. Joy and happiness. Amen. Not in the fact that they're building a brand new church or got a brand new church program going or anything like that. That there's joy and happiness in the very fact that people are being born again and won to Christ Jesus and becoming part of the family of the kingdom of God. And he can't wait to get back to Paul to tell him the good news. Amen. The church is doing well. There's joy and there's happiness. But... and how many of you knows that sometimes those commas give us the biggest problems? I love the Lord, but I believe he can do all things, but... well, I know the preacher said I need to be happy, but... those commas have a way of interfering and impeding our joy and our happiness sometimes. Man, I'm a firm believer in not speaking it. I got this saying, some folks, two different kind of folks have a different outlook. Some people, you say, how you doing? I'm trying to catch cold. Other folks, you say, how you doing? I'm trying not to catch cold. Put me down as one, I'm trying not to catch a cold. Amen. I don't want to catch a cold. Amen. I may have to get a cold, but I ain't going to try to catch it. Amen. But there's some people that it, regardless of how good they've had it, what a wonderful service they've had, amen, they know the Lord is alive and well in their life, somehow they just can't seem to let that joy begin to come up. They can't begin to think how happy they are, how blessed they are, how fortunate they are. Amen. Because all they want to talk about or all they want to think about is what what's going wrong in their life. But let me tell you, I serve a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. And I want to give him praise for the goodness that he has bestowed in my life. And Timothy says, the church is well established. It's doing good. They're thriving. Souls are being won. But they got a lot of questions. And the questions are concerning the times and the seasons. I'm a little bit concerned today. The church folks are a little more concerned about the times and the seasons rather than the mercy and the grace. I serve a God that does not take seasons off. I serve a God that's just as powerful in time of tribulation as he is in time of revival. I serve a God who is able to speak to sickness and affliction and heal immediately what is wrong in a person's life. But they have some questions. And in the very first verse of chapter 5, as Paul begins to write his first letter back to the newly established church at Thessalonica, he pens, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. And paraphrasing basically what Paul is saying, I don't know, nor do you, nor any man, the time or the season of Christ's return. But he goes on to say, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. A thief comes suddenly and unexpectedly. If any man tells you he's got it down to the day or the month, he's not biblical. The Bible says no man knoweth the time. But of the times and the seasons, you have been given certain discernment to know that the time is drawing nigh. Because he goes on to tell them, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, ye being the church, ye being born again, ye that have given that discernment by the Holy Spirit itself, he says, are not in darkness. That ought to give us some happiness. That ought to give us some joy. That ought to make us rejoice, because I have been in darkness. I have been lost, but I'm not there anymore. I'm not living. I'm not dwelling in darkness. I'm living and operating and walking in the light of the Lord. And that gives me sufficient joy and praise to rejoice about. But he says, you're not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, that means you. You are the children of light. That light comes from the illumination of the Spirit of the Lord. And the children of the day, we are not of the night nor of darkness. Then he gives a warning, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. You remember the five foolish virgins as opposed to the five wise virgins, all clean, all pure. Five were totally and absolutely unprepared, but five were. Let us be well prepared as we are the children of light. Don't sleep as others, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. And then he goes down to say, and basically, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. One of the best things that brings joy and causes us to rejoice is knowing the peace of God, amen, that is within us. And he goes on to say, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And then he gets to the point. Rejoice evermore. Doesn't say rejoice just when things go our way. But he says, those of the church who are established, those that have that spiritual walk with the Lord, those who have been infilled with the Spirit of God, have got something to rejoice about, even in the most adverse times, even in the most unpleasant seasons. There's still something to rejoice about. I began to recall the happiness of knowing that it was church night, or the weekend was approaching, that we would get to go to church. And there was an excitement to come into the house of God. Because the church that I grew up in, we had no idea what was going to take place during that service. And when a bunch of happy folks get together and they begin to glorify and praise the Lord, amen, you throw the program out the window. And you just begin to rejoice and praise God. And God's Spirit spoke to me and said, let's get happy again. Come on. We need to get happy in the Lord. Now, have you got to run to be happy? No. But if you're happy, you might. Come on. Have you got to shout to be happy? No. But if you're happy, you might. Glory to God. But I tell you one thing, when you're happy, when you come into the house of the Lord, you don't bring those problems in. You don't bring those troubles in. You don't bring those things of the world in. You come in to give God your undivided attention. You say, Lord, I don't worry about anything else. I want to praise you. I want to love you. I want to rejoice in the fact that I know that this is not my home. My home is being prepared by Jesus Christ right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And in that is something to rejoice about. So he exhorts the church to rejoice, to pray, and give thanks. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice all the time. Rejoice in spite of. Rejoice when you don't feel like it. Come on. Rejoice because you're saved. Rejoice because you know your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice in the fact that Jesus loved us enough, man, that he came and died for us. If you're rejoicing only in things of this world, most of your time is going to be spent in misery and in disappointment, because those things fade away. We know that. People are constantly trying to buy joy and happiness and material things, and it's good for a while, but it kind of fades away after a while. Things lose their glamour. Things lose their enjoyment. And then what do? We discard those and we get more things. And I'm talking about the world in general today. But you can buy all the things of the world, gain the whole world, and lose your soul. And you look back, where was their joy? Where was their peace? And where was their contentment? The older I get, the more I know, man, that the less I need of this world, and the more I need of Jesus. I need him every day of my life. I need him every moment of every day. And I want to give him sufficient praise. I want to give him sufficient glory. If I don't have anything else to thank him for, I want to thank him for salvation. I want to thank him that he let me get up this morning. Amen. That is a blessing, glory to God, that unfortunately a lot of folks cannot say today that they were able to get up on their own this morning. But by the mercy and grace of God, he has given us that ability. Church, we need to get happy again. We need to rejoice. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 3. The authorized, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope, not a dead hope, not a dying hope, but a very lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Do we have believers today that know that not only Jesus died on the cross, but he was resurrected, amen, from the grave and is alive and well today, amen, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Not only did Jesus love you, not only did he die for your sins, but he is gone to give us a place, an inheritance, glory to God, that is incorruptible and undefiled. I'm looking for the day, I'm looking for the time when I take my abode in that place provided and prepared by Jesus Christ himself. Hallelujah. Because nothing down here can compare. Mom and Dad used to sing a song in the Little Rock Mart Church. Nothing can compare. Nothing down here on this earth can compare to the love of Jesus Christ. The writer goes on to say that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I want to remind you, when the devil says you ain't got nothing to be happy about, and when he's telling you your life's a mess, you're never going to get it straightened out. Can I share with you? You know how we try to straighten messes out? We tug at them. We tug at them like a little child learning to tie a shoe. And we've all done it. In fact, I'm 60-something years old, And I still have some tie shoes. And sometimes when I'm in a hurry, I will still get it in a knot. I'm just confessing. But I've learned something. The more you tug at it, the harder that knot gets. And the little girl who was tying her shoe, she kept tugging it. She finally takes it to her daddy. Said, "Daddy, can you get this knot out?" He said, "Yeah, baby." He said, "But if you had brought it to me the very first thing, it would have been a whole lot easier." If we would take those things to our Heavenly Father, the very onset of it, instead of tugging and trying to fix it, all we do is tightening the knot. Amen. If we'll just take it to Jesus, how many knows that the Lord can fix all things? Thank God for that. It's reserved in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Church, you want to get happy? Think about what's coming. You want to get happy? Think about what the Lord has done for you and the place He has prepared. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The writer says you can rejoice even through the heaviness of those manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 8, pay particular attention. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Can I surmise those few verses there, if I might? Peter has written some encouragement to the church, as well as did Paul to the church at Thessalonica. But in those first few verses, verse 3 through 8, 1 Peter has given us four things that are assured by our relationship with the Lord. First, we are protected. 24/7. We have a protection, amen, when we have the Spirit of the Lord with us. Many times we think we're only protected when we're about to have an accident or we're about to have serious problems. That's not the case. We're protected sometimes when we didn't even know that danger was present. Many times the Lord has protected us and we never even knew that He protected us. Secondly, and just as important, He shields us from those fiery darts that are constantly coming from Satan. But He has given us a shield of faith, amen, to repel those fiery darts that are constantly coming at us. That ought to be joy unspeakable and full of glory that God has given us that ability. Thirdly, we are guarded by His Spirit. We are guarded by His presence. He never takes His eyes off of us. He's aware of what we're going through. And He is the great fixer of all issues and problems. And lastly, probably the best of all, we are preserved. I know where I'm going. Not because of who I am, but because of who He is. Not because of what I did, but because of what He did on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Not because of anything there is about me, except that is within me. Been filled with the Spirit of the Lord. My name is there. I do have a place in heaven, and I can rejoice even on the saddest days. I can rejoice even in the face of adversity, and even in death, we know that we have a promise. Do you know the soul never dies? We talk about death, we talk about funeral, and we talk about the passing of a loved one, but the passing is only the house that they lived in. The fleshly body that is going to return again to the dust of the earth. But that soul, you know, has been set free. Glory to God. To receive a glorified body. And in this, we can rejoice greatly. We can be happy in the fact that we know where we're going. The journey going to be hard? Possibly. Is it going to be tougher? I don't know.
could very well be. But it should never, ever, under any circumstances, steal your joy or steal that celebration that is within us. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. So what are we going to be happy in all things? We're going to rejoice in all things. And don't forget what else it says. Pray without ceasing. Church, I encourage you. Don't just practice prayer. Be intense with prayer. We say prayers. We do prayers. But right now, we're living in a day and an hour when we really need an intense prayer with God. Not that he's hard of hearing. Not that he's hard of understanding. But for us, sometimes we're hard of believing and having faith in God. But I love you from the depths of my heart. I had to share with you what God said. Be happy. Life is short here on this earth. And eternity is forever. You don't have to worry about being happy in heaven. Glory to God. You're going to have a joyful time forever and ever and ever. But you can be happy down here. Don't let circumstances dictate your joy. And I'm going to leave you with that. If our music would come, we're going to dismiss the service maybe a little different this morning. This altar is still open. If you need prayer, you'll never be turned away. This altar is always open. But there's a precious lady who's down in South Georgia, and I found out that she wanted me to sing Joy, 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 and we didn't do that in revival. But I'm going to dedicate that to Sister Evelyn today if she's watching the live stream, and I'm going to sing Joy, 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 because she relates to that song, because she's had a lot of situations, a lot of issues, but it has never stolen her joy. Let's do it in F, if I can remember the words. Y'all may have to help me sing with me. Jesus. I'm telling you what, the senility is not nearly as good as I thought it would. One day I was walking in a world of fear. No rest for my weary soul. Oh, but then I met a man who said he'd be my friend. All my burdens God did roll. He took those worldly desires. He gave me heavenly fire. Now I've got a brand new goal. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. Well, it's joy in my heart, joy in my mind. It's joy since that happy day. I've got joy in my hands, joy in my feet. Well, it's joy in every way. God took all the worldly desire, gave me heavenly fire. Now I've got a brand new goal. Since I've met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy in my soul. Why don't you just step out, shake hands with somebody, tell them I got joy because I know Jesus Christ. Would you just take a little time, spread some joy, spread some happiness. Amen. He took those worldly desires. He gave me heavenly fire. Now I've got a brand new goal. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. I've got my eyes on Jesus, got my mind made up. I'm gonna tell him everywhere I go. Well, there ain't nobody gonna turn me around. You see, Jesus is in control. He took those worldly desires, gave me heavenly fire. Now I got a brand new goal. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. Well, it's joy in my heart, joy in my mind. It's joy since that happy, happy day. I've got joy in my hands, joy in and my feet. It's joy in every way. God took those worldly desires, gave me heavenly fire. Now I've got a brand new goal. Since I met this man called Jesus Christ, joy, joy in my soul. Yes, glory, joy unspeakable. Thank you, Lord. Well, he took those worldly desires, gave me heavenly fire. I've got a brand new goal. Since I've met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. Since I've met this man called Jesus Christ, I got joy, joy, joy in my soul. God bless you, church. We love you. Brother Jim.
Amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand.
Praise God, praise God. Powerful, powerful message this morning. And I know I could say it to a couple that's in here now. I think Brother Eddie was in our Sunday school class this morning too, as we were having, joy was brought up multiple times this morning. Amen. Yes, it was. Absolutely. He's got a mic out there, or we've got a mic that we can read his messages before he brings them. Same God, that's right. Amen. Praise God. All hearts and minds clear.
Thank you, sweet Jesus.
Praise God. I know it's a busy, busy weekend for some that's celebrating. I want each and every one of you to be careful, but know that you're all invited back for our service this evening at 6. And really looking forward to it. You know, God just keeps on keeping on. That's right. Be prayed up. That's right. Mighty move of God. Well, if all hearts and minds are clear, I don't have any announcements in the no choir today or anything. All right. Praise God. All righty. With this prayer, we're just going to say, let's take an intermission. Everybody go get lunch, get back for service this evening. Love to have each and every one of you join us. Those watching online, if you have a prayer request or a need, please place it in the comment category. We believe in the power of prayer because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, thank you again, dear Lord, for your love and that promise that you've given each and every one of us, dear Lord, as we will just receive what you have for us. Lord, as we prepare to depart, we ask for you to keep your hand of protection upon us, dear Lord, in each and everything. Also, dear Lord, may we never forget the children and those ministering out in the children's church and in the nursery. And Lord, we thank you for the little ones. And dear Lord, now is as much now as ever, Lord, that you'll keep your hand of protection on them. And dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Sing in the midst of before.